Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
All right, so we move into hour number three. I am Jim Rome. I'm in Southern California. And really quickly, before I get to my next guest, who's already ready and I'm fired up for that. Hey, just because I did what I just did and I played that AI slop created by V does not mean that you should spend your time creating AI slop and sending it to me. Hopefully that's a one-off. Ask yourself not what can this show do for you, but what can you do for the show to make it better? That did not make anything better. This Davenport, will, but that Davenport. Didn't. All right, we go into hour number three. We're joined right now by a former Major League first baseman. He played for seven teams across 10 years in the bigs. He was an All-Star in 2017. He is an MLB Network analyst. He is Yonder Alonso. Yonder, always good to have you on the show. Dude, how you feeling?
Good, man, good. Thank you for having me on, man. One of my obviously favorite shows, and I love to come on and talk a little baseball with you.
Bro, you look great. What have you been doing?
Dude, you know what? Starting in January, I just said the hell with it. I'm gonna start. I'm gonna get back in my playing weight. I'm gonna get after it. I'm gonna hit the weight room. I'm gonna, you know, be down in South Florida in the 305 and put on my baseball cleats. Called up my trainer that I worked with for a long time, and I said, "All right, it's about that time." You know, I took like 3 or 4 years off, man. You know, people don't realize you start playing the game at such a young age, and you're like, you know what? At some point, you got to take a vacation, but I think my vacation was outdated and I needed to get back to the real world and really get back after it and start training and sweat some things out.
Good for you, man. You look awesome. I love that so much. I've always wondered about athletes because you're right. You spend your entire life dedicated to a thing and you're so regimented and you're so disciplined. And then when it's finally over, it's like, all right, is this going to be part of my lifestyle or have I earned this break? So you take that break. Let me ask you something. So how much better do you feel mentally, physically? Do you sleep better? Do you perform better on air? Did it change everything?
Everything. You know, one of the biggest things for me was the mental health. Like, when I got done playing, man, I was beat up mentally. Like the grind of the everyday and not looking behind your shoulder, this new 20-year-old that was going to take my job, or was the front office going to release me, or if I didn't get a hit, you know, was I going to be able to stay on a squad, right? So like just that whole thing of 10 years, 12 years and even prior to that, right? High school ball, trying to do your thing, trying to get us college, trying to go in the draft. Then you go to college and then you're trying to get drafted. You're trying to have good years. You're trying to be a student athlete. So like all these things, right? You don't really realize that you're on the daily grind of things. But like once you're done, once you're retired, you're kind of thinking to yourself, okay, I want to take a break. Unfortunately for me, the break went like about 3 years, okay? And it was fantastic. My mentality was incredible, but my physical was not great. And then one day in January, my wife was like, all right, it's about that time. We got to go. And I said, all right, let's go. So I just did like simple things, you know, like I ate before 7 p.m. at night, right? I had two meals. I tried to lay off how much carbs I was going to have, a lot more protein. And, you know, before you know it, the first week is hard. The second week's a little easier. And the next thing you know, you're at it for 6 or 7 months. And here we are.
Now, it's such a great, great message. I love it so much. And then it's habitual, right? It's like anything else. You create new habits and your habits create your wiring and then you feel better and it's great. So I appreciate that. Dude, you look great. All right. So let's talk some baseball. The Brewers and Dodgers are probably going to battle until the very end for that top seed in the National League playoffs. Given that Milwaukee took 3 of 4 from LA at Chavez Ravine, after being swept by LA in the NLCS last year, could you see the Brewers turning the tables on LA if they meet once again in the postseason?
Yes, and I think for me right now, when I look at this Dodgers team, and I, it's just normal, right? You want to compare them to the previous years and how dominant they've been throughout the postseason and throughout the regular season. It just feels for me like right now there are teams in the National League that really can take them, right? They feel like that they can compete with them. They feel like their pitching is up to par. They feel like their defense is up to par. They're more athletic. Their bullpen is better. Like you look at Milwaukee right now, They've been much better when it comes to their ERA, their bullpen ERA. They're running the bases a lot better. They're defensively much better as well. The Dodgers are a little bit more slug, a little swing and miss. So, yeah, when I look at this bullpen for the Dodgers especially, right, you're looking at Edwin Diaz. He's been struggling a ton. I mean, he's almost got a 12 ERA. Tanner Scott has been great. Brock Stewart has been good for them as well. Alex Vesia as well. But when you look at this Milwaukee Brewers team or this Braves team or this Phillies team or this Padres team or this Cubs team, it really feels like they can get after it against the Dodgers and feel like in the postseason they can get through that team.
I think you're right. I think sitting here, even in Los Angeles, it just feels to me, and I'm not going to write them off, but it seems like they just seem like they feel older. They seem like they feel a little more fatigued. We know the back end of the bullpen is a major, major problem. And you bring up a number of teams that would create matchup problems. Yonder, you mentioned the Padres. I want to ask you about the Padres because you spent four seasons with them. They were left for dead earlier this season. They were a great disappointment, but they have risen up from the ashes. Can you see them doing any damage in October if they're able to hold on to that wild card spot?
They're the one team that's not scared of anybody. And I think when they're a team that gets hot at the right time, they feel like they can go against anybody. And I really like what they've done on the road as well. You know, this is a team that is, as much as it's built for the bullpen, AJ Preller has done a fantastic job with the starting rotation at the trade deadline, adding two pieces, right? So it feels for me that they are that team that you got to be careful with. They're kind of sitting in the outside there, and they feel like they can play against Milwaukee. They favor well against the Braves. They favor well against the Dodgers because we've seen in the history, they're not scared of the Dodgers. So this is a team for me that I really like. Offensively, they've been much better in the second half. And I feel like if they can carry that, if they can somehow wake up a little bit of Manny Machado's bat, you see what Fernando Tatis has done. He was the NL Player of the Week. Merrill has been much better in the second half. I really like this team right now where they're sitting.
When you see Tatis right now doing what he's doing, both defensively and offensively, does it feel like he's got all of his mojo back?
He's got the mojo. He's got the confidence. Earlier in the year, it was obviously a rough slate for him. He wasn't really hitting the long ball, but he was getting on base. He was playing very good defense as well. He was running the bases correctly. But right now, Fernando Tatis, if it's me and my eyes looking, it's the best I've seen.
Talking to Yonder Alonso, he looks unbelievable. They brought one back the other night that was incredible. What about the Yankees? Let me ask you about the American League. So they're playing better of late. They're trying to run down the Rays in the East. Aaron Judge continues to try to rehab his rib injury. If he's able to return, is that going to be enough to ignite them, or frankly, do their problems run much deeper than just that?
Look, you know what? I think that's a great question. And I think it's a question that we've probably talked about for so long, ever since Judge went down, right? That's the big elephant in the room. They need Judge. There's no question about it. I also feel like their starting rotation and that bullpen has been fantastic. Although there was a hiccup last night with that bullpen, I still think that bullpen is tremendous. The way they've pitched their last 20 games has been lights out. I think the starting rotation is as good as any in the American League. Their offense right now has turned it around. I really like the kid Judge Lombard. He's been fantastic at shortstop. He's given them that little bit of a spark. Look, I thought they've made the right acquisitions at the trade deadline. I still think this Yankees jersey is heavy. I still think this jersey and this stadium is electric, and you want to go in there and you feel like you can take on that beast. But the Yankees right now, for me, you know, although you're looking at Tampa and you're looking at all these other teams that are in the American League, the Yankees are a team you got to count on.
I was just going to say, Yonder, you made the argument for so many teams in the National League, a number of teams that could give the Dodgers all they could handle. What about the American League? There's so much parity over there, too. How many teams could you actually make an argument for in the American League for having a legitimate shot at winning the pennant?
Not many. And that's just the reality. I think when you look at the Chicago White Sox, for example, you look at the Guardians, they're a team that's missing a couple pieces, right? You're looking at this West in the AL West. It's as bad as we've seen in a long time. I really like what I've seen from Houston. I really like their starting rotation from the Rangers. Although Seattle Mariners have the easiest schedule remaining, and that's something to talk about. Their starting rotation is pretty good, but then they don't answer the bell. It feels like for the past 3 or 4 years, we've talked about the Mariners turning it around, and they don't turn it around.
This year especially. Yeah. Coming off the year they had last year, this absolutely was the year. The hell happened to these guys?
Yeah, so for me, you look at Tampa, you look at the Yankees, and that's pretty much the outlier when it comes to the American League.
Yonder Alonso joining me for a few more moments. Hate to even go here, but let's go here. Commissioner Rob Manfred said that the owner's goal is to make a deal with the players when the CBA expires at the end of the season. Quote, we're planning on playing baseball next year. End of quote. I do not want to put you in a bad spot, but how concerned are you that regular season games will be missed next season because of an impending lockout and because of a demand for a salary cap?
Look, I think we got a long way to go. Look, games haven't been missed in a very long time. I know both sides are passionate about things. We'll see what happens. I just think for me right now, it's too early to tell. I'm not in the room, right? So I don't really have the full scope of things. But clearly the league believes right now that the best way for competitive balance is for a cap. But on the other side, the players think that there are other ways to achieve the competitive balance. So again, let's see what happens. That's why there's negotiations. That's why there's talks. And I think it's been a very healthy amount of talks that they're having continuously. But I believe for me that, and this is my opinion, the game is in a great place right now. And I just don't see or think that we're going to miss games. I think both of these parties are going to get together. They're going to figure it out. And baseball, at the end of the day, will win.
Man, you hope so, right? Because I agree with you. I think the game is healthier right now than it's been in a long, long time. You know, you're in an interesting spot. Let's just be real, because you played. You played for a long time, so you understand the union. But also now you work with the MLB Network, so you're on that side. You're kind of – that's why I say I don't want to put you in a bad spot. But will the players ever accept a cap? Can you see that happening?
I'm not sure. I will tell you this from me as a player. When I was playing, it really felt like the commissioner and the other side of things were so far away. And I think Rob Manfred has done such a phenomenal job of trying to get closer to the players. And I think that's so valuable and so important because I think it gives that human element. And I think there's nothing better than communication. There's nothing better than transparency. And that's something that Rob has done. And I feel like the players understand that. The players also understand where the game is at. And I just think for me right now, when I look at things, everything will get sorted out. I think it's too early to tell. But at the end of the day, this is going to get fixed. This is going to get done. And we're going to have baseball in April.
Good. Love to hear it. One last thought. So you said two meals a day. Are you intermittently fasting? And if you don't eat after 7, when do you first eat?
Okay, so I'll give you this. It all depends on what I'm going to do the next day. So if I'm playing tennis, I'm going to have a nice little meal before 7 o'clock, right? It could be protein. It could be some carbs, very small. It could be some vegetables. Now, if I'm not playing tennis or I'm not walking the course, the golf course, then I gotta simmer down. I'll do a little ice black coffee, and then I'll have a little light lunch. I'll have some fruits, and then I'll kill it with my protein come around 6:30, and then just take it day by day.
I mean, you know what I love? You have a plan. You have a plan. You're working your plan. Because without a plan, anything could happen. I love that you're a tennis guy. You like tennis better than golf, or golf better than tennis?
Ooh, that's tough. I like golf. I really enjoyed it, especially now walking the course rather than taking a golf cart. That's very important. But man, tennis is great, man. I mean, the U.S. Open is happening right now this weekend here in New York, so I'm really excited about it. So we'll see. We'll see. I like them both. They're both of them are really right there.
No, I love tennis. I grew up playing tennis. I love tennis. As a Southern California guy, one of my best buddies when I was in Santa Barbara, he and I played tennis all together. And when he picked up a golf club, I never saw him pick up a tennis racket ever again, man. I lost that guy to golf. But that's why I ask you, which one's better?
Oh, they're I just do them different. Both. We're athletes. That's the thing. We're athletes.
Golf is much harder than tennis. Agree?
Boy, you better have that cardio. You better have that cardio.
I had the cardio.
Tennis.
I had the cardio. I thought forehand. Tennis was way nice easier slice. For me than golf. Way easier than I thought for me. But you are an athlete and a major leaguer. Yonder Alonso joining us. Yonder, still good to get caught up with you, man. Really appreciate you.
Likewise.
The friendship. Great to see you, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Likewise.
Okay. Yonder Alonso joining us. It's a fun conversation. Covered a lot of ground there. And I love the way he broke that down as a former athlete. Like you said, that there's just so much stress. And the way he laid that out, it was always there. College, pros, whatever team, always looking over my back. When it was finally over, I'm like, all right, I can exhale. I don't need to be in perfect physical shape. I think I'm going to have a little fun. And I'm going to eat what I want. And his wife said, all right, vacation's over. It's been 3 years. And then he went to work. He looks like a million. Really good stuff. All right, when we come back, maybe some reaction to what V did. A lot of the reaction is, we are all worse for that, V. Thank you so little. And I've got more topics to get to also. And again, I've got a podcast that's going to go out after the program, a little bit later on today, a really good podcast. I know because I've already put it together. Seth Wickersham, you're going to want to see that and hear that. And a reinvention project pod. Those of you that like that space, that like that podcast, have been asking, when's it coming back? This week. My guest is Daryl Strawberry. So, big week here in the jungle. If you ride, right, Albie? You already know this. It only takes a second for things to go wrong out there. What a lot of riders don't realize is, it only takes that one drink to change your whole life. Alcohol slows your reaction time, throws off your balance, and gives you a false sense of confidence. That combination on a motorcycle, well, that's dangerous. This Labor Day, when you hit the open road for some well-deserved R&R, enjoy the ride, have fun, but more importantly, never ride while impaired. The bottom line, if you hit the bottle, don't roll the throttle. Planning ahead is important because if you wait until you've been drinking to make decisions, you might not make the best one. Ride with a clear head. Call a ride, stay over, or hand the keys to somebody sober, because if you don't, you're not just risking your life, you are facing a DUI, which can cause you to lose your driver's license, your bike, your job, and more. Ride smart, ride safe, and remember, ride sober or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's up, fellas? Mike Golic Jr. here. Labor Day weekend is back, and so is football. The tailgate's set, and everyone's ready for game day. But once the final whistle blows, there's one decision you can't afford to get wrong. If you've been smoking marijuana, don't get behind the wheel, period. It's illegal, and driving high could get you a DUI. When you're on the field, the game needs 100% of your attention. Research shows that marijuana impairs motor skills, lane tracking, and cognitive functions. You're putting yourself and everyone else on the road at risk. Studies state that the THC in marijuana also hurts a driver's ability to multitask, a critical skill needed behind the wheel. That's not a stat you want to be a part of. Law enforcement is out there calling the penalties. Guys, they can tell when you're high. Look, if you drive high, you could get a DUI. So huddle up and call the right play before kickoff. Plan a safe ride, call a rideshare, or crash on the couch. You can be the MVP this time. Because the only smart play is the safe one. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
In business, there is no room for guesswork. Every shipment matters. Every deadline counts. When you're trying to keep operations running smoothly, the last thing you need is uncertainty. That's why reliability is at the core of USPS Ground Advantage. From the moment your package is first scanned in, it moves through a secure nationwide network, aiding in a timely and accurate delivery. You get near real-time tracking so you can keep up with your shipments. And with affordable upfront pricing, there are no hidden fees or surprise surcharges to throw off your cost sheets. It all adds up to predictable deliveries that you can depend on. Because knowing your logistics are handled lets you focus on everything else, your customers, your team, and the future you're building. So visit usps.com/groundadvantage to start shipping with confidence. USPS Ground Advantage, we mean business.
All right, so allow me to pick up my jaw off the ground.
Allow me to pick up my jaw off the ground. I'm looking at something right now that I've been calling for years and years and years and years and years that I'd given up on, that I just assumed would never, ever happen. Not in my lifetime, maybe not even in our children's lifetime, maybe not even my grandkids' lifetime. And yet here it is. Here the bleep we are. It happened.
Here we are.
I've been calling here for this for years. I cannot believe that I'm seeing this. I mean, is this fake? Is this real? Like, the guy reporting it is legit, but is it actually him? I can't believe this. Jonathan Jones posted exclusively at The Athletic. After years of non-competitive play and tweaks, the NFL will no longer hold a Pro Bowl game, becoming the first major U.S. league to end its all-star event. The NFL will focus its celebration on Pro Bowlers with no alternates. Incredible. Finally dead. Finally, they took that thing out back and they put it down.
finally did the humane thing, euthanized the worst game of all. If you're getting ready for work right now, you're probably not the Pro Bowl.
If you're getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not. You're getting ready for work.
So what
right
killed
now,
this thing?
You're probably not. Doug
it
Collins.
Sucked.
Right now, then you're
nobody watched it. Nobody cared.
Right now, then you're probably not.
Everybody
Doug
wanted
Collins.
To be selected for it, but nobody actually wanted to play. Why don't we go back and think about our great Pro Bowl memories? Here are my memories. When I think of the Pro Bowl, here's what I think of. The guy that actually saved the Pro Bowl. The guy that saved the Pro Bowl. The guy who extended the life of the Pro Bowl. Sean Taylor. Sean Taylor. Blowing up a punter. Brian Moorman. The greatest moment in Pro Bowl history. Everybody else is out there just trying to get through their one series to get back to the beach, to get back to the pool, to get back to their cocktails. Not Sean Taylor. He only knew one speed. He only knew one way. This dude flying around lit up the punter. The punter incredibly survived and got up. An incredible Pro Bowl moment. So to me, that's actually what kept that thing alive. You're watching on the stream right now. Watch this. Bam! Oh, my God. That is incredible. Like, that lick in a game, in a normal NFL game, would have been absolutely amazing. And it was the punter. And the punter fumbles it, de-cleated, absolutely de-cleated and snot-bubbled. And this dude gets up. Like one of the toughest, not one of the toughest punters, one of the toughest players I've ever seen. This is an absolutely incredible play by Sean Taylor. Like nobody, he didn't get the memo. Bro, nobody cares. We don't want to get hurt. And this dude got up. He survived it. So that to me was the greatest moment ever. What killed the Pro Bowl, aside from it being horrible every single year? I've been calling for the end of this game actually my entire career. And I just thought they just kept bringing it back, changing it, tweaking it, trying to fix it. I'm like, they will not let it die. They will never let it die. It's been time to die for decades. They will never let it die. So what was it? What ultimately killed it? The fact that nobody cared? The fact that nobody watched? The fact that it wasn't competitive? The fact that nobody wanted anything to do with it? The fact that it didn't rate? Or the fact that Shedeur Sanders was selected to the Pro Bowl last year? That in and of itself should have been the death of the game. Nothing against Shedeur. He was 3-4 last year. The hell was he doing in the Pro Bowl? Nothing against Shedeur. He doesn't even start. What was he doing in the Pro Bowl? The only thing more absurd, if you're watching, there it is on the stream, Pro Bowl, Shedeur Sanders. That right then should have been the death knell. But it wasn't. It survived. It lived a little bit longer. The only thing more absurd than Shedeur being a Pro Bowler last year was Shedeur getting his number retired at Colorado before he left campus. The Athletic, quote, breaking. The NFL Pro Bowl is being eliminated. On Wednesday, league executives presented to team owners the future of the Pro Bowl, which will no longer have a standalone game, be it tackle or flag football or games. They won't even let it be flag football. And you know how desperate they are to make flag football successful, to make it a success in the Olympics, to grow it grassroots. They won't even let it be a flag football game. It goes on, quote, 88 players will receive the Pro Bowl honor with no alternates. Corralling a key aspect of the All-Star event that had gotten out of whack in recent years. This has been my point for probably 20 years. Nobody wants to play. Everybody wants to be selected. Nobody wants to play, but everybody wanted to go to Hawaii for an all-expense-paid vacation. But nobody wanted to put the pads on. Another one of my great memories of the Pro Bowl. My man Barry Switzer smashing a hot dog on the sideline. That told you how important that game was. Man, I love Barry Switzer. Never more so than when he was shown on the sideline during the game as the coach smashing a dog. A glizzy on the sideline. Another great moment. Hey, man. Freaking RIP. I don't want to dance on anybody's grave, but I'm more than happy to dance on that grave. About freaking time, NFL. What took so long? Finally, the humane thing. I've long said it. The Pro Bowl was like that super sad family dog that was blind and had a leg amputated and was kind of limping around, bouncing off the sliding glass door, running into it over and over again to the point where it just wasn't humane. You had to put the poor guy down. That's the Pro Bowl, man. Take that thing out back and shotgun it. And they did. Finally. I just never thought that day would come. I just always assumed it doesn't matter how unwatchable it is or if anybody watches it at all. They will not let it die. They won't. And they did. They finally ripped the plug out the wall. Well done, man. Well done. About freaking time. Frisco Mario was on it too, obviously. Quote, best Pro Bowl memory is when Peyton Manning killed his stupid idiot kicker. That's
here
true.
Here we are. I'm out of my third Pro Bowl. We're talking about our idiot kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. So what has the sports world come to? We're talking about idiot kickers. He has ruined kickers for life. Akers and Vinatieri, these guys are great guys. They've been getting killed all week because our idiot ran his mouth. So when I get home, I'll deal with it. Tony and I talked about it. It's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. If he is still a teammate, we'll deal with it. You know, that remains to be seen. But the sad thing is, Lynn, he's a good kicker. He's a good kicker, but he's an idiot.
It's so amazing how angry he was. Like, the only time in his public life that Peyton Manning ever did that. I mean, my man could be a U.S. senator. He could be whatever. I mean, Peyton Manning always knows exactly what to say. That was the only time I've ever seen that guy snap. And, man, that was incredible. So, who did it better? What was a better moment? If we're talking about the greatest moments in Pro Bowl history, what was better? Sean Taylor blowing up a punter in a game that did not matter, where nobody wanted to hit anybody. And he was playing that game like it was a Super Bowl. And damn near could have killed that guy. Or Peyton Manning lighting up his idiot kicker. Which is a better moment? If you had to vote, which do you think was a better moment? I'm going to say Sean Taylor, because it actually happened on the field. But Peyton, that is
idiot kicker.
That is one for the ages. Him lighting up the idiot kicker.
Idiot
his
kicker.
Whole point about when I get home, we'll deal with it. Namely, it's my team.
Idiot kicker.
They all answer to me, which they did. When I get home, Tony and I will talk about it, and we will deal with it. But he is our idiot kicker. It's a shame, Lynn, because he's a good kicker, but he's an idiot. I wonder how Peyton feels about that. You should be proud of that, Peyton. All right, so that's Frisco Mario's favorite moment. Matt Nosey, quote, war killing every major sports league all-star game. I'd be in favor of that. But I'll take the one that we got. At least one's a start. This one had to go first. And they're all terrible. And it wasn't always like that. You know, Major League Baseball's all-star game, when I was a kid growing up, damn, that was good. They cared, man. Again, Pete Rose pretty much ended Ray Fosse in an all-star game. It didn't end his career, but Ray Fosse, who was an all-star, was never the same after Rose lowered his shoulder and ran him right into the dugout. That was a, quote, meaningless exhibition game. That all-star game was incredible. Not anymore. Hasn't been in a long time. To Hams, $20. Quote, This is another example of the NFL keeping our guy down. The conspiracy is real. Signed, Shador Nation. Keeping him down. They made him a Pro Bowler. He was 3-4. And they put him in the Pro Bowl. Aquamoon, 213. Let the robots play with the names on the back. We haven't gotten into the robot games. I keep trying to. I don't know. The robots scare the hell out of me. And then when I saw them breaking world records, I was really scared. Until I saw one run through the tape and smack into a wall and then go into its back pedal and then fall on its back and then spark up and get short-circuited. And I'm like, good, good. Watch this. Here he is. Here he is. Look at this dude. Look at this dude stride out. This dude's fast. Oh! Okay, so now he's backing up like it's all good. All right, so that goes back a number of days. But this robot is breaking Usain Bolt's record. Goes through the tape, does not slow down, runs into a wall, and then it's like, I'm good, I got it, I got it. And then he's back pedaling like, I'm good, I'm good. He goes to his back pedal like a cornerback, and then bam, falls on his back, sparks out, and dies right there on the track. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I can breathe. They're not taking over the world. The robots are not taking over. Clearly, they're still in the beta stage because that dude sparked up. We have a few more years.
Alive. You are coming with me.
He's fast. I'm not saying he's not fast. I'm not saying this dude doesn't have, like, strides. I'm just saying we're not ready for robot football. We're not ready for robot life. That robot's not taking my job just yet. Not yet. But damn, he's fast, man. And the strides on that bot. Holy crap. Him sparking out and dying is incredible. Look at him. Watch him when he hits the wall. And by the way, how do they not know about the wall? He's got great straight line speed. It's kind of like Billy Joel in that house. That house jumped out of nowhere. That wall jumped out of nowhere. Now, he's got great straight line speed. I'll give him that. And then when he started to back up and go into his back pedal like a cornerback, I'm like, all right, all right. Hands on his hips, into his back pedal, but no lateral movement at all, at all. On a straight line, you can't compete. My dude's fast. Except the wall, dude. The wall. You'd already broken the world record. Were you going to run through the wall? Hey, robot, you know that's just a phrase, right? That's just a figure of speech. Well, I'd run through the wall for him. That robot tried to run through the wall. And then into the back pedal like, I'm good. I'm good. I got this. I got this. I got this. No, you don't. Why are you sparking? He's throwing off sparks and then on his back and he's dead. So what I'm saying is, all right, all right. So we got a few more years. They're not ready yet. Bacon's in, quote, can you hear me, Shador? Yeah, remember when you played in the Pro Bowl? Yeah. Did you kill it? Literally?
Can you hear me, Juice?
Yes, I can hear you, buddy.
Yeah, remember when you played for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you kill Bill Walsh?
Did I what?
That was what?
You heard him. And then there is some V reaction. V's like, what about me? What about me? What about me? What'd they say about me? This guy's on the super chat. Quote, that was hilarious. My ribs hurt from watching that. All right, so that guy liked it. Oh, the doctor must have seen it. The doctor's back. Quote, when you played V's video, some people are at our hospital died. Laughing. Amazing stuff, and we can't wait for you to play the full version. Rack him.
Rack him!
Hey, Dr. G. Maybe it's just me, and I'm going to apologize if I'm wrong, but I'm having a really, really hard time believing that you're a doctor.
You stupid
even
doctor.
A Cairo. You can't just come up with a handle that says Dr. G. I have a really hard time believing that there are people at your hospital who died laughing. Good one, Doc. Steven Wolfram 356, quote, this is his take on V and his AI slop, quote, was definitely the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Pretty much how we all reacted. Brian Udig, quote, we're all worse people now. Pretty much how we reacted. Tommy and Nola, the shock value is going to give me a heart attack. Drunk will see Sam, quote, I feel dirty. Bacon, quote, you all seem very animated in that video, like you're on some serious pharmaceuticals. Yeah, it was AI slop. The vibe was off. I mean, there's Oj with a knife about to cut a sandwich from Mama Cass and me looking on with some weird AI look. And there are the guys on the other side of the glass. And Leilani, even, with gloves.
Davenport! Davenport! Davenport!
You're not going to see the long version on the show. I already played way too much. There is another version. He sent it. It's even less amusing than that version. I'm sure that V will play that out on his various social media platforms. Don't expect me to do it. My ribs did not hurt from watching that. My appendix did. My kidney did. My liver did. All my internal organs did. Man, it was weird, V. Weird. And not the good weird. Just weird.
Hey, Jim, great to see you.
Brought a little snack.
Whoa, OJ and Mama Cass, welcome.
You never know what you'll get.
That's the best part.
And that's the worst part. V. Here's V. Quote, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you holding on to part two, which we can show on Friday's show to really get the diarrhea anniversary the runs it needs. Is that kind of like we are Vikings fans? We can show this. We are not showing this, V.
Doesn't care who you are or what you do.
We're just not, V. All right, when we come back, one last segment. Don't forget, I've got the podcast coming up later on today. You don't want to miss that. The Reinvention Project Pod before the end of the week. Anybody have anything they want to add to any of this? Just get up in here. It's not too late. You know where to find me. We'll come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Davenport! Davenport!
Hey, it's Bleck.
And Abdallah.
Labor Day weekend is upon us, and football is back. Our listeners are getting ready for tailgates and game day celebrations.
That's right, Bleck. But if marijuana is part of your plans, remember, driving high is driving impaired.
Yes, sir. Research shows that marijuana impairs motor skills, lane tracking, and cognitive functions, putting you, your passengers, and everyone else on the road at risk.
Make the right call before kickoff. Plan for a sober ride home.
If you feel different, you drive different.
Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
In business, there is no room for guesswork. Every shipment matters. Every deadline counts. When you're trying to keep operations running smoothly, the last thing you need is uncertainty. That's why reliability is at the core of USPS Ground Advantage. From the moment your package is first scanned in, it moves through a secure nationwide network, aiding in a timely and accurate delivery. You get near real-time tracking so you can keep up with your shipments. And with affordable upfront pricing, there are no hidden fees or surprise surcharges to throw off your cost sheets. It all adds up to predictable deliveries that you can depend on. Because knowing your logistics are handled lets you focus on everything else, your customers, your team, and the future you're building. So visit usps.com/groundadvantage to start shipping with confidence. USPS Ground Advantage, we mean business. Let's get that ATP in here. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Mikey Soriano, when Alex fills in for Alvy, how many rails does he blast before the show starts? Bro, you do know that was AI slop, right?
Oh, look at that.
That was not actually Alex blasting any rails of the Bolivian marching powder or the Yale or the snow. That's not real. None is the answer. None. Zero. I think I feel very confident and very accurate and very safe. Right? That's not real. Scarface there with the ponytail, not real. AI slot. I think I'm very, very safe in assuming.
Oh, look at that.
Not one single line of coke has ever been blasted in this facility by anybody who works on this show. Truly. Nor have I ever seen a hamper. Therefore, nobody's ever taken a dump in a hamper. So if that's where you're going next, don't. Now, do we smash coffee? Sure.
Davenport, Davenport.
Are there other forms of caffeine? Yes. Does Lorne get his guacamole gamer fart 9000 on? Yes. Binopolo. At Pueblo Native, ask the pros, quote, if $20 extra gets me the raw dog, how much to get her to leave? Signed, Jed Pork. Pueblo Native, come on, man. The pros, ask the pros, not ask the prostitutes. Ask the pros, not ask the hooker. It's ask the pros. The professionals, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's why it's ask the pros. It's not ask the hookers. It's ask the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop pretending to be Jed Pork.
Professional.
Van Tan. Do you guys ever celebrate crew members' B-days? If so, in or out of the office? I personally believe celebrating birthdays as an adult is an egotistical DB move. But whatever. We should celebrate death of loved ones like birthdays. And birthdays like every other day. War Rome shows B-Day. Jason in Texas. Wow, bro. Take it easy. Here's the thing about, do we celebrate members of the staff's birthdays? Only Rit. Only Rit, because Rit has the same birthday that I do. And we thought that was funny. I said, damn, Rit. What was so amazing about it, Rit
Ambi
had the same birthday as me, although he was born like 10 years later, but looked 20 years older than me. But Rit looked like Dwight D. Eisenhower, who also shared our birthday. So we would celebrate Rit's birthday, and we would celebrate Rit's birthday by my letting Rit host the show for a segment. And Rit was more than happy to do so, because deep down, Rit thought he was better at it than me.
Damn right.
So that's how we celebrated his birthday. And the only other way we celebrate a birthday is Cindy might do something. Cindy might bring in a cake or cookies or something. Cindy's good like that. But no, we don't celebrate each other's birthdays. I don't take days off on my birthday. No. Frisco Mario. Sorry, Mario. Sorry, Mario, but we didn't really miss anything. Oh, Mario. Huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your vehicles. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE, Certified Master Technicians. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. My thanks to Yonder Alonso, Green Bay Packers safety, Xavier McKinney. I've got the Jim Rome podcast coming up a little bit later on. Seth Wickersham is my guest. Look for that. My thanks to the XR4TI and you clones. See you tomorrow. We're out.
Someone get this man a plunger and some Febreze spray ASAP
as possible.
The Dan Bongino Show.
Folks, it's not my job to sit here and like try to stir you up for clicks. I think I've been very level-headed. I've had to tell people a lot of things they didn't want to hear. So let me tie together into a bullet point storyline. This information warfare against your mind is very real. Be careful where you're getting your information. Do not gaff this off. I'm telling you, like, this is why I've been so passionate. This stuff is real. Now does it make sense?
The Dan Bongino Show. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.